Welcome to the Creative Conception Podcast. I'm your host, Erica Price, and this podcast is about sharing unusual and challenging journeys to starting and growing a family. If your family inception journey has not been straightforward, I hope that you'll find some great company in these stories and realize that you're not alone on this journey. Please let me know what you think of the podcast through comments, likes, shares, and reviews, and thanks for listening. Hello, and welcome to episode 8 of the Creative Conception Podcast. I'm your host, Erica Price, and I'm delighted to welcome my sister, Jose Lemieux Bailey. Welcome, Jo.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with, how did you and your partner get together, and when did you know that you wanted kids?
I knew when I was in high school I wanted to have children, and I had a plan in my head.
Yeah.
And so when I met Greg at work, we were both teachers. We ended up getting together, and I was 28 and he was approaching 30 when we got married. Mm-hmm. And we decided to try to have kids right away, just in case things didn't go exactly the way I'd planned.
Yep.
And it took 6 months, which wasn't very long at all. And we were very happy when Chloe came along, our firstborn.
Yeah, that's great, isn't it? For a lot of people listening, 6 months would seem like a dream. And a lot of people that I've had on the podcast have also said, you know, they expected it to happen in a month or two initially.
Absolutely.
So it's really funny, the expectations that people have. Mm-hmm. So yes, you had your beautiful daughter, Chloe. And then what happened?
Then we decided we would like to have more children, and mm-hmm. we tried, and we ended up encountering a number of obstacles that we hadn't anticipated.
Yeah.
And so we did end up having other children, but it took a lot longer than we had expected. William came mm-hmm. along almost 7 years later, and Timothy came along after that. And there is almost 3 years between Timothy and William. So he's now 7.
Yep.
So we found out that we were pregnant with Timothy when William was about 2.
Right. Wow. And I know there's lots of things that happened in between Chloe and William. And I was kind of shocked when he said 7 years, because it feels like Will and Tim have always been part of your family now, but there was a huge time in between your first and second that was really challenging for you. And I'd love to hear about some of the challenges you had in that time.
Sure. We had some trouble after Chloe because I developed a thyroid condition. Mm-hmm. And I struggled to stabilize that thyroid condition for a number of years. At first we didn't know that a thyroid condition could make it difficult to conceive other children. At the time, I want to say that the research on that wasn't well known.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't a lot of research that, like there is today. And mm-hmm. so we continued to try. As I was getting treatment for my thyroid, I had hyperthyroidism, also known as Graves' disease, and mm-hmm. I yo-yoed between hypo and hyperthyroidism for a number of years.
And Jo, is that common with Graves' disease to go from hypo to hyper, or was that because of medication and treatment that happened?
I think it could have been a combination of both. Okay. A lot of the symptoms, they say also are the same. So there can be some confusion between, you know, which one you're experiencing at the time. Also, depending on the type of treatment you receive, we tried thyroid blockers for me and I ended up being allergic to those. We did radioactive iodine treatment, and that only was partially successful, but it takes a number of months to find out if that's working or not. My thyroid kicked back in at one point and it caused problems with the medication I was taking at the time, because they were trying to stabilize me based on how much they thought my thyroid was working. Yeah. It was a bit of a pain. And so
it's really tricky. And yours was much more extreme than mine. You know, I had to go on thyroxin and had a few issues with it. And that turned out to be mostly the way I was taking it. Because I remember you and I had a conversation and your advice to me was super helpful about how exactly to take it and not take it and what to not take it with. So yeah, I can relate. And I remember you going through this at the time, and it was pretty hard on you mentally and physically.
It can be difficult. The thyroid is such an important gland, and it just is in charge of so many functions related to your metabolism, and so also mental function, and it affects your sleep. And so that can be challenging. And so if you're trying to have other children and you're struggling with this at the same time, and if you don't even know that it's affecting your ability to have other children, that's frustrating. You find it out after and you go, okay, well, I didn't know that we were working against some other force. I had gone to an OBGYN to see if he could help us conceive other children. He didn't say anything about thyroid function. He did put me on Clomid, and Clomid was not a good drug for me. It was even more difficult to kind of stabilize emotions and other functions on
that. I've heard that about Clomid. Yeah, I've heard that it has a pretty bad reputation for that in the fertility world now, especially. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this was a little while ago. So it's one of the first things they would put you on at the time.
Right. And so we found that we were unsuccessful with that and not so happy with what the drug was doing to my mental state. So we had, I had discussed it with Stephanie, our other sister, and she had been on Clomid at one point and said, I really don't think it's a good idea to continue this way. And maybe you should go and see a fertility specialist that I went to see in Montreal, which is out of province, because I think that they will be able to help you in a different way in order to, you know, or just waste less time, be more efficient, and help you figure out why you're not conceiving children right now. And so we went to Montreal, so out of province. We didn't care if we were going to have to pay money because it wasn't covered. But we thought we wanted to speak to someone who would really give us an idea. And he was excellent. He was not the same doctor that Stephanie had dealt with because they had changed ownership of the fertility clinic. However, him and his wife were really incredible. They were very kind and patient people and just made you feel really comfortable. And one of the first things he said was, you need to stabilize your thyroid. Right out of the blue, said, we cannot do a thing until you stabilize your thyroid.
Wow.
I know. And that's when it hit us and we went, oh, okay.
Oh, that's actually a really important piece here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was a little disappointed that he said it at first, that I felt like I had been waiting for so long and that it was out of my control. He was telling me that this is something I had to do and he couldn't help me stabilize it. So I went back and I decided to change endocrinologists.
Yep.
Because I thought maybe a different endocrinologist might be able to help me be more successful in stabilizing that piece. And it worked because the endocrinologist that I switched to here in town was a younger doctor that actually knew Greg, had gone to school with Greg. And she understood that I wanted to have more kids.
Right.
And that we only had a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
Where we would be most fertile. And so we had to fix this right away. So she tried to stabilize it with medication as well. And it didn't work right away. So she suggested taking my thyroid out. And so I ended up having a thyroidectomy. Based on her advice, and it really was really good advice.
It is really interesting that a couple of things that have really stood out in that story is how some doctors can make you feel really comfortable and pick up things straight away. And It's come up a few times in my different podcasts about, you know, if you're not happy with your doctors, then to get a second opinion and find more advice and see what other people have to say, that can be really helpful.
Absolutely. And they may consider something that the other doctor had not thought of.
Yeah.
And or really listen to you when you say having children is very important to me. Yes, I have one child, but I would like to have more. And the time is ticking against me here.
Yeah.
She was looking at, you know, my profile saying, okay, well, you're approaching 35. So we know that your best chances of becoming pregnant are before 35. So we're going to try to work with that timeline. And she sent me to a young surgeon who would do it, because there might have been other surgeons who would refuse to do the surgery because my thyroid wasn't cancerous or anything. It was just really malfunctioning.
Right. That's so interesting. So that was a huge obstacle. You had your thyroid removed, and so they were able to regulate you, what is it, with a like fake thyroid?
That's right. That's right, a synthetic thyroid hormone.
That's what I was looking for. Synthetic.
Yeah, I know. And so it took a while, though, even after that, another 6 months or so. And that felt like forever, because, you know, this was, you know, this was going on 4 years afterwards or whatever. So, so it felt like a long time, but finally it stabilized. And then we went back to the fertility clinic and said, here we are, stable.
Can we go now? Can we,
start? Can you do something, please? Yes. Yeah. And so that's when we went through the process of doing insemination three times, which were unsuccessful. Okay. And then we eventually moved on to IVF.
Yep.
We did that twice. Mm-hmm. First time was successful. However, I miscarried. Least I believe I miscarried. It's hard to know because they said it was successful. And then next thing you know, at a certain cornerstone, there was no heartbeat. So that was devastating.
Absolutely.
At the time.
After waiting all that time. Yeah.
We were so sad. Well, especially after we thought it was successful, right? And we were moving forward, not thinking that all of a sudden that could just stop in mid-process, right?
Yeah.
So
I wonder, Joe, I've spoken to a few people who had issues with their, like, conceiving their second child as opposed to their first. And I think it must be really challenging mentally, because you're going in with this expectation that things could go really smoothly and not be that difficult. And then here you are getting, you know, obstacle after obstacle and going through something like a miscarriage, which is which is hugely traumatic.
Right. And I mean, I want to say that I'm grateful for having my one child, and it's not that she was never not enough. She is a wonderful child, and we love her dearly, and we wanted siblings for her. And that's what we, that's why we also tried so hard. Not only had we envisioned ourselves with three kids, but we wanted siblings for her because of the sibling experience we both had. We had people say to us, oh, well, you're so lucky you have the one. And
which is true. And
yes, and absolutely it's true. But at the same time, I wanted to say, yes, we have one and we love her, and, you know, we appreciate her. And we would love to have more children if we can.
Absolutely.
Because that's the vision that we have for our family.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make us less grateful.
So what happened with this second round of IVF with the fertility clinic?
Nothing.
Okay, that was unsuccessful.
That's right.
Okay. So what, where did you go from there?
We decided to walk away from it for a bit because we were exhausted. We were so tired. We were really discouraged. And we thought, maybe this is not the way we're meant to go. Before we had done the fertility things, we had looked at international adoption. And we thought maybe
I forgot about that.
We had to go back to that piece. And we just thought we'll just take a break and we'll see what's next, because we just had no more energy for it. And yeah. We thought maybe this just isn't meant to be. And so we let it go.
Yeah.
And yeah. And tried to do some things to try to, you know, lick our wounds and accept it.
Yeah.
Accept it. And I know that a lot of people go through a lot more procedures than that. Mm-hmm. I think it was just the combination of a lot of things together. And
sometimes, you know that you're not in the mental or emotional state to keep going. Mm-hmm. And you kind of just know that it's not going to happen that way.
No.
Whether it's 2 rounds or 20 rounds or whatever, you know, that right. point is different for everyone. Everyone's situation's different. But I think it just takes, you know, bravery and courage to say, actually, this doesn't feel right. And we need to take a break. And
absolutely. And they couldn't explain to us why it wasn't working. It's like we wanted an answer.
That's so frustrating.
We wanted an answer, because we were saying everything is perfectly lined up now. Why isn't it working? And they said, we really can't explain to you why it's not working. We don't know. And we understood that, but it's still frustrating. You don't want to hear that.
No, and because if you know what it is, maybe you can fix it. But if you don't know, then you don't know.
Yeah. Right. So
what happened after that?
So we ended up pregnant a few months later with William out of the blue. We had given up. We had given up. And so, we weren't exactly sure how that happened. I'm thinking that I probably still had a fair amount of fertility drugs in my system. So it might have been still somewhat revved up, you know, without me knowing it. But we also had surrendered to a number of things that, you know, may have helped. You know, I cried my eyes out. I tried to accept all the shame that I had been feeling. I didn't realize it was shame that was in the pit of my stomach that I had been holding back for a really long time. Mm-hmm. So at one point I just sat down and cried until I couldn't cry anymore. Leading up to this, and I'm not sure if that was helpful. You know, there were a number of things that we had done to try to help open our minds and, you know, try to make that last round of IVF successful.
Yeah.
So when we look back, we think, I wonder if some of those things were helpful. I had done.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I had done quite a bit of yoga to try to stabilize myself physically.
Yep.
I had changed jobs because I felt that the job I was in was stressful at the time.
Yep.
So I thought that might help just the stress levels in my body so that it would help me become more open.
Yes. Yep.
And just we tried things like manifestation. That was something that we had done. Vision boards. I had a vision board of a blonde haired, blue eyed baby on it. And that's what I ended up with when William was born. So to go back to that, we found out that we were pregnant for William on April Fool's Day.
What was going through your head after everything you'd been through to find out that this had happened naturally?
I don't know. I felt a bit like we had been fools when I found out on April Fool's Day, but I don't know. I couldn't pinpoint what we had done or what we hadn't done
to create this. Logical. Yeah.
No, it was completely illogical. You know, and at one point I had asked for help from, from my godmother. And I know we had kind of talked about that, you know, like the spiritual side at one point. Throughout the whole process, I had tried to kind of reach out to our grandmother because I believe that, you know, we may have some kind of connection spiritually. She's no longer with us, but because I really felt like I was at a loss for, I wasn't in control of any part of that situation. And having guidance from someone could be helpful. And so
what made you, I find this part really interesting, and I do want to spend a little bit of time on this, because it's not something I've really talked to a lot of people about on the podcast, is that kind of spiritual side. And I know it's something that's quite strong with you, and I'm just wondering, do you know where that idea came from, like to ask for help from your ancestors, your godmother, that sort of thing?
So I have a friend who's an artist, and she has a connection with her sister who passed, and she would often ask Julie for guidance and support. And I was inspired by that. I thought that was really cool. Just something totally different that I had never thought of. And when I saw that she believed that she received signs from Julie to help her, I thought, let's give this a shot, you know, like it can't hurt, you know.
Absolutely.
Last time that we had done IVF, when I was lying on the table or the bed after that procedure, I decided that in order to try to get my mind open to the idea of accepting this baby, you know, accepting all the procedure that they had just done, and be a good host, I thought that maybe what I could do is call on my grandmother, but also ask her to assemble our other ancestors who were women, who had all this knowledge about conceiving children and having children, and try to get them to come together and help me and cleanse me of anything that was stopping me from having another child. And at the moment, it felt like it was really powerful and it was helpful, but I felt like perhaps I should have done it sooner.
All right. That's really, it does, it sounds super powerful. And especially at a moment when you feel like you really, there's so many things that aren't in your control.
You just, you feel really vulnerable. And that whole bleeding process after IVF or insemination.
2 weeks of hell.
Oh my gosh. Yes. It's such a long wait, and you're feeling so anxious. And even in that moment, you're feeling vulnerable and anxious because of the procedure, but also because there's a lot riding on this, right? And
yes.
And I felt like if I could open my mind in a different way and ask for help in a different way, you know, it couldn't hurt. It certainly couldn't
hurt. Absolutely. I think that's really admirable that one, you have those connections and those friends that help you see things in a different way, and that you ask for help when you need it and figure out different ways to do that.
Yeah. And I've had people, thank you. I've had people ask me, well, how do you know if your grandmother helped you? How do you, you know, and how do you know if that was helpful? And I can say that, you know, a couple of months after IVF didn't work for us, I did end up pregnant. And so, you know, that's something. But also there's the story of Timothy, who was, you know, the complete gift and surprise. I had a dream. So sometimes I would, you know, I would try to talk to Nan and, you know, sometimes our other ancestors, mostly Nan, our grandmother. And sometimes you can receive a message in a dream, or, you know, a dreamlike state that is supposed to be an easier time to be able to connect with something like this. And I had a dream after having had William one day that I was sitting in a hospital bed and someone handed me a baby. And I looked at the baby and it wasn't Chloe and it wasn't William. And I knew that. And I said, whose baby? Yeah. I said, whose baby is this? because it's, you know, I don't think it's mine. I didn't, I'm just sitting here, you know?
Yeah.
And whatever the voice was that spoke to me, it said, no, this is your baby. And I went, really? You know, this is my baby? And then I just heard Grace. And I thought it meant that the baby's name was Grace. Yeah. And so I assumed that maybe it was a little girl. And so I thought, oh my gosh, is it possible that after William, we could end up with another baby out of the blue, and the baby would be a girl named Grace. And I found out later, when I was pregnant for Tim and found out he was a boy, I thought about it hard, and I thought, wait a second, how can this be wrong? If I saw it in a dream, there must be something I misunderstood. And I thought, no, it's not that the baby's name is Grace. It's that Grace is a gift. And this baby is a gift that you didn't even have to think about. He just showed up.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
And the best part about that, if you wonder how it could be connected to our ancestors or to our grandmother, is that he's born on Nanny's birthday.
That's so perfect.
It is perfect. And the funniest thing is, because it was going to be my third C-section, it was going to be planned, right? And it was too close to William, so it had to be a C-section. And the OBGYN that delivered him was the same OBGYN that we had originally visited to get help, to have more children. So it was like a full circle back. And he had a conversation with me talking about what day we were going to plan the C-section. Yeah. And I knew it was so close around Nanny's birthday. And he said, why don't we do it August 3rd? And I said, Nan's birthday is August 5th. I really think she wants it on her birthday. And you know, like, my grandmother is very stubborn, and I don't think, you know, she would like it on another day. But if you think the 3rd is the day we have to do it, it's okay. And he laughed. He thought that was hilarious. He was like, oh, yeah, sorry. You know, we have to do it on the 3rd. So I said, okay, fine. And then next thing you know, I get a phone call a day or two later saying the OR is closed on the 3rd to be cleaned, which they don't do that very often. We are going to have to do it on the 5th of August.
Seriously?
On Nanny's birthday. And I laughed and said, thank you. I kind of knew she was going to do something to make it on her birthday, because she has a really great way of getting what she wants, you know?
That is so funny.
In a good way. Yeah, it's funny. So I don't think that she could have made her message any clearer than saying, here is a gift on your birthday from me, you know, or here's a gift on my birthday from me, saying, you know, we did our best to help you and look at what you have now.
Amazing.
Yeah. It's bigger than serendipity, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's something. So we couldn't call Timothy Margot, which is her name, but we did give him a middle name of Garrett, part of her name.
Because Margaret. I didn't actually know that.
Yeah, Garrett, because they share the same birthday.
Oh, that's so cool. And of course, Nanny made them move your C-section date to her birthday.
I think so. I think she wasn't satisfied with 2 days away from her birthday.
It wasn't close enough.
Well, and Kobe's birthday is so close too, right?
I know. And Kobe's is on the 3rd. So there you go.
Yeah. And I had also asked Nan, saying, I think Erica needs some help. You know, I think you better help Erica as well, if you can, because.
Yeah. Maybe she knew that the cousins would need to have their own birthday, so she didn't mind Kobe being a couple days before Tim.
It's possible. Who knows? I mean, that's pretty close to her birthday as well.
Mm. There's something else I want to ask you about, which is some of the things you've done to help other people, especially in terms of your spiritual side. I know when Kobe was a week old, you flew over to Australia to meet him, and you gave me a diary that you had been writing in to him before he was born. So can you tell us a little bit about that idea, where it came from? Because I've since done it for two people, both of whom are now pregnant, which is
really exciting.
Yeah, aww. It is really exciting. And both of whom don't know that I've done it yet. So I'm going to gift it to them after their babies are born as well.
That's what's so exciting, to get the book afterwards, right?
Yeah.
So I had heard of this idea of writing someone into being a number of years ago when we were struggling. There's a writer by the name of David Bouchard. He's a Métis writer. And he wrote a book called Notes to My Daughter. And he was writing to his daughter before she was conceived. And it's a collection of these notes. And he published them, and you can buy the book. And when I bought that, I thought that was really incredible. And I didn't use that idea for my own children because I felt too vulnerable. Mm-hmm. It was too vulnerable to do it for myself. But I felt once I was kind of somewhat removed emotionally,
yeah,
that I could try it. And so that's when I thought I could try to write Kobe into being. Because I know that you were going through procedures at the time. And I thought, what does it hurt? It can't hurt anything if I start writing to him like he's here. And and then one day he'll be here.
Yeah, it was such an amazing gift to get that and know that you'd been thinking of me and of my journey and, writing to my future children as if you always knew that they were going to come. Because you're right, when it's your own journey, that looming question of if, when, ever this is going to happen.
Yeah.
But I find the same thing. Like, I can be really sure for other people.
Yes.
Because it just seems like that's what is going to happen. Because that's just what's meant to happen.
And you can see it more clearly for some reason for someone else, maybe because you're removed from the doubts that you have and you're, I'm not sure, but I could see it clearly for you.
Yeah.
And it even makes me think of that day that I was looking through a magazine and I saw this person who I swear was you in the magazine with twins. Do you remember I told you?
I don't know if I remember that.
Turning pages and I all of a sudden turned back because I thought, what is going on? This looks so much like Erica.
Wait, so was that before Kobe?
No, this was before you had the twins.
Oh, okay.
And so it's almost like we get these glimpses of what's coming, but you need to be open to see it. And maybe that's easier when it's not you involved necessarily. But I remember telling Chloe, and so she was like my evidence, saying, I saw this picture and it looked so much like Erica, like same hair, same face, same everything with these twins. I'm like, wouldn't that be funny? That would be great, you know? And I thought, geez, I should have taken a picture of that.
You should have.
Of that magazine. And I should have, showed you, because I swear to God, she's your twin in that thing. But, even Chloe, she had a dream that you had a baby. And she was like, I don't know if I should tell her or not, And this was before Kobe, I think,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So funny, eh?
It is interesting. I'm trying to remember if I would have liked to have heard that before I knew that I was pregnant.
I know. That's probably what she didn't tell you.
Yeah. I think I would have been okay to hear it, but it's hard to know. It's hard to think back to that time and whether that would have been helpful or not.
Yeah, you want to be respectful and you don't want to say things that are upsetting to
Absolutely.
Others. That's it. And
with this journaling stuff, so I started a journal. I'm just going to have a look at, because I have it on here. It was over a year ago. I think it was over a year ago for one of my friends. And it also gives me a sense that I'm helping and that I'm doing something, or at least holding them in my thoughts.
Yes.
So I really I really like that it feels like I can do something positive for other people that are struggling. And I remember this friend in particular that I started writing to, her future baby, who is, I think, due at the end of January or something like that. I remember her telling me that she was pregnant. And I looked back to when I started writing to the baby, and it lines up with when they were conceived.
That's amazing.
Which just is totally weird. And I know when I share this with her in the new year, yeah, she's gonna love that as well. Yeah,
absolutely. And so these ideas of writing someone to being, or
I love that,
seeing something in a dream or asking for help from ancestors, really, you have nothing to lose.
Absolutely.
I feel like, you know, it's another way of asking and trying to manifest what it is that you really want.
Yeah.
For yourself or for other people.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I love it. So now you have three beautiful children that are growing up way too fast.
Yes.
And I want to know, what is your favorite part of being a mom?
That's a big question. I really had to think about that one. He sent me the questions in advance. I think I love watching them interact with each other. Mm. I love looking at our family photo, because I always knew that there were meant to be more than three people in the family photo. It's their little personalities that are coming out all the time, and watching them become who they're meant to be is really incredible. They're all so very different.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I love it when they share with each other, or when they feel compassion for each other, you know, or make each other laugh. It's the best.
Yeah.
It's really the best. Those two goofy boys who, you know, joined us later really added humor to our family, humor and play. Mm. And watching Chloe circle back and, you know, learn how to play in a puddle and do really goofy things with her brothers, and learn how to play with Lego. You know, I never played with Lego as a kid. So having them say, "Mom, help me with this Lego part." I love that, because I didn't know that I love Lego.
You got a chance to experience Lego with them. I love it.
Really? I was too busy.
It's actually
Barbies.
Really fun.
Yeah, it is fun. And it's so great when you have something all put together and it has moving parts. Like this ice cream truck we did one time, and the window for serving the ice cream could open and close. It was the best.
So satisfying.
Absolutely. I couldn't believe it. And we worked so hard to get that window to be able to open and close, because we weren't doing it right at first.
I have another question for you. This is my last kind of more structured question, which is, do you have any advice that you'd like to share for other people in a similar situation?
I guess my biggest piece of advice would be, you know, knowing that your journey makes sense no matter what it looks like or how it unfolds. Sometimes it unfolds differently than how you expect it will.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's okay to want what you want, I think. I felt like people were telling me sometimes that, you know, I should be satisfied with one child and grateful. And it's not that I wasn't grateful. We, you know, people who have one child are grateful for their child. But I think it's also okay to want more children if you want more children.
Yeah. And not have to justify it or,
make and the other thing is, you often get the question, do you only have the one? That happened to us for years. Do you only have the one? Do you plan on just having the one child?
The one.
And I found that people didn't understand that they were poking at one of the most vulnerable spots that we had.
Absolutely.
In general conversation. Like, how's the weather? Nice to meet you. Oh, do you only have one child? And I thought, it's so hard because you don't know how to answer that question. You want to cut that conversation off right away sometimes. But also if you have an answer, I guess when Stephanie and I were talking about this, we were saying if you have an answer that helps you feel powerful, but also authentic at the same time and in line with what it is that you want, it helps.
Yes.
Because it may still leave you vulnerable, but at the same time, it helps that other person understand. I would say sometimes God has given us one child and I hope he trusts us to have more. You know, I hope he gives us the gift of more.
Yeah.
Because it hasn't happened yet. And then I think sometimes people would say, oh, right? And sometimes I thought, I don't want to give them that information because it makes me feel vulnerable. However, if I could answer in a way that also told them what my goal was or what I was striving for, sometimes then they became on my side and they would actually pray for me or do something to try to help us.
Yeah.
One lady that Greg worked with did the walk of the Camino. And she brought our prayers, like she brought our prayers with her to have for us to have more kids.
It's and that so was interesting, really powerful. Isn't it?
Yeah. But I guess had we not said that, she wouldn't have known and she wouldn't have then tried to do something to help us.
That's true.
It depends on how you're feeling on any given day too, right? Some days you feel more vulnerable than others, depending on where you are in the journey.
Yeah.
And, when we had more children, I can't tell you how many people were so overjoyed for us. Like we are so thankful. And they're still so excited when they see our kids because they know that it took so long. And maybe they feel like they had a hand in helping us through prayer or whatever. You know,
it's such a positive spin on, you know, a really awkward question. And I think by giving them that answer, like, yes, it leaves you more vulnerable and hopefully it opens their eyes to, you know, the kind of question they're actually asking.
It's like asking childless couples, you know, do you plan to have kids?
Yeah. Like that's... Or trying to convince you. I one time had a couple try to convince me that kids were really awesome and that we should have some. I was like, gonna kill somebody.
That's it. And I think people maybe don't say these things on purpose to hurt anyone.
No, of course it's just not
part of what they think is general conversation. But until you meet someone who says something, like one of my friends said, I tell people I'm not discussing my family choices with them. You know, like my choice to have children or not with them, I barely know them, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I thought, ooh, maybe I asked people that question years ago. It's possible.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
And I'm sorry if I made someone feel uncomfortable, but until you become aware, you don't know that that's not something you should say or bring up.
Exactly. Exactly. I love how you approached it. And it actually changed. And some people really wanted to pray for you or to do something nice for you or to be on your side. I love
that. And they stopped in their tracks and went,
yes,
geez, I didn't consider that.
Yes.
You know, now we get the, wow, there's a big gap between your children. And we just laugh and say, well, it took a long time to get the other ones to show up, you know, not by our choice, right? I don't know. It's like they think, oh, is this your second marriage? Because there's such a big gap. I don't know. We just laugh and say, oh, yeah, there's a big gap. We plan to have a babysitter, so our babysitter is really great. She's always available.
Built-in babysitter.
And they say, oh, geez, we should have done that.
Oh, my God.
I know, and I just laugh. Oh, you're so lucky. We're like, we are lucky. We are so lucky.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Is there anything else that you want to share before we wrap up?
I don't think so.
Okay, great.
I think we covered most of it.
Yeah, we covered a lot. Thank you for sharing your journey all your obstacles with the thyroid and, you know, trying different IVF and insemination and different things. And I really love hearing about your spiritual side and some of the things you tried in that area to help you along, and that you really believe it made a difference. I think that's really cool. And I've benefited from it in my own journey as well. So thank you. Thanks for coming on the podcast, and all the best with your three teenagers nearly.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.